today on Real Radio.
Believe it or not, according to the Bible, God loves you more than you love you. And so my challenge to you this Christmas is to allow you to let the love of God reign and rule in your life. To let God at Christmas love you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's very special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus Christ. For many of us, imagining a Christmas without Jesus Christ is something we can't even fathom. How can we imagine a Christmas without Him when it's Jesus who values our lives, loves us beyond our imagination, and who was born to us so He could lay down His life for us? Christmas is the day when God spoke to us about His Son, that Mary would call His name Jesus, and that He would save us from our sins. God didn't send His Son to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. Jesus has a wonderful plan for our lives, that's the truth. Regardless of how bad life seems, or how difficult our childhood might have been, or even in the chaos and uncertainty of this past year, we are not defeated. So today, in this special Christmas message, Pastor Jack tells us that it's Christmas when God sent a miracle of love, hope, and forgiveness. So why should we imagine Christmas without Jesus when it goes completely against history, against the Bible, and against all reason and logic? It's simply not Christmas without Jesus. And now in his message called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus Christ, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Imagining a Christmas without Jesus. I'm going to give you three things this morning that I hope provokes you to be thinking. In fact, this entire month has been a teaching series on provoking you to think about what the world does not want you to think about, and that is having Jesus Christ right in the middle of Christmas. Because as I said, it is not Christmas without Him. And we hear reports all around America. I've been watching them even this morning on the news, where people have taken a stand for Christmas and they were reprimanded or they were ridiculed or they were mocked or they have been threatened to be sued because they took a stand to say Merry Christmas. And I've talked with some of you this week, and some of you have been told by your employer that when somebody walks into a store, do not say Merry Christmas. They have been told, don't say it. Now, I don't know how legal that is, but it doesn't matter. I'll tell you what, church, it's my desire that starting today, we begin a crusade that will culminate next year. And that is, we will start to look for stores and for businesses that promote Christmas. And if they promote Christmas and if they say Merry Christmas, then we're going to do them our business. We'll give them our Christmas money because, you know, they want our Christmas money, but they don't want our Jesus. But I tell you what, it is not Christmas without Jesus. And from here on out, we need to be aware of those stores and those businesses that banish Jesus, yet they want all the blessings that celebrating Jesus brings. So between now and next year and the next Christmas that comes, we'll be doing some homework and we'll be getting reports from you about stores and businesses that are pro-Jesus at Christmas, because it's what it's all about. And we want to be very careful about that. If people are going to say no to Jesus, then we can say no to spending money. If they can say, no, you can't say Merry Christmas here, then you know what? Then we'll go somewhere else and say Merry Christmas. And so it is a war, we understand, and there's books been written about the war on Christmas. Well, as we look at what they would have us to consider, imagining the Christmas without Jesus, three things we want to argue with you this morning. And number one is this: why would I imagine a Christmas without Jesus? Why would I? Can you jot that down if you're going to take notes? Why would I want to consider a Christmas without Jesus? Why would I want to imagine this Christmas season without Him when He, in fact, is the very reason? What kind of a crazy thought is that? To have Christmas and to have all the things around us that announce Christmas. We got the Christmas tree. It's not a holiday tree. It's a Christmas tree. We got all these things about gift giving, which is based in the Bible, to give gifts and to acknowledge and be excited about it. And it's a tradition in the name of Christ. Gifts have been given since the very first century as people celebrated the birth of Christ, and on it goes. As we look to this time of the year, few things I want you to consider. Number one, why would I consider a Christmas without Jesus? And first thing I want you to realize is when it's Jesus Christ who valued your life and mine. Why would I want to consider a Christmas without Jesus when he's the one, according to the Bible, that we celebrate at Christmas that valued your life and mine? This is what the Bible teaches. If you don't know this, then listen carefully. The Bible clearly announces that Jesus Christ came into this world for us. It's in the Christmas hymns. It's in the Christmas notes. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and Isaiah 7, 14, and John 3, 16, and John chapter 1, and Luke chapter 2, and Matthew chapter 2, and 3, and 4, that Jesus Christ came for us, that he loves us, and that he values your life. When we think about all the things that we could present to God at a time like this, and all the things that we could do in our worship, just know this. The reason why we celebrate is because God valued our lives so much that he would come, the Bible said, and Jesus Christ would die on the cross in our place. This is the Christmas story. God values your life. This morning, especially those of you who are older, it's a tough thing growing older. There's a lot of things that come into play when you grow older, but one I think of the most dangerous things about getting older is getting older in your heart and mind. You're going to get older in your body. That's inevitable. But regarding your heart and your mind, church, be careful. Friends that are visiting today, be careful that you do not get old in your heart or in your mind concerning God's love for you. When I say get older, what I really mean by that is get cynical, get crusty about life. Because by that time, as you've lived on, things have kind of racked up and stacked up in your life to where you could, if you let your heart go that direction, become very bitter. And miss the fact that God values your life. You may not value the life of others, but God values their lives. You may not value your own life, but God does. Believe it or not, according to the Bible, God loves you more than you love you. God cares about you more than you care about you. And so my challenge to you this Christmas is to allow you to let the love of God reign and rule in your life. To let God at Christmas love you. The Christmas story is about God coming to love you and I. So that's a very important thing. In John chapter, or 1 John, I should say, 1 John 3:16 says, "For this we know love because he laid down his life for us." That's why Jesus came, to lay down his life for us. And God says that is love. Jesus showed the love of God. And then secondly, in 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Bible says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. God sent Jesus Christ, his son, and in doing so, it is the work of Christ on the cross, so valuable were you, that at the work of the cross, Jesus Christ created the very power by which you could be reconciled back to God. What an awesome thing. That's how valuable you are to the heart of God. And so at this Christmas, why would I want to imagine a Christmas without Jesus when the very message is God loves me. God values me. You can slap bumper stickers on your car. You can wear a little lapel thing that says something about, you know, how cool you are, or whatever, or I'm somebody, or what. You can, you know, put all that stuff in your life. It doesn't matter. You could get caught up into a little mantra. I am really great. I am cool. I am something. Repeat it over and over again, you know, until you convince yourself, good luck. Luck's all you got. But when you realize, you know what? The Bible says God loves me. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came for me. You are greatly valued, my friend, at this Christmas. So why would I imagine a Christmas without Jesus? I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. Why would I dare imagine such a thing? When I look to God's love. Second thing under this, why would I imagine a Christmas without him when it's Jesus Christ who planned your life and my life? Your life has a purpose. You say, Jack, if my life had a purpose, then why is it so messed up? Why have I fallen into so many pitfalls if my life has a purpose? Listen, first of all, God has a plan for all of our lives. And that doesn't mean that life goes the way you and I think it should go. Number two on that is, God does have a purpose for our lives. Many times, and I only speak from my own experience, that I have gotten into trouble during the course of my life because I was the one who was being the Lord of my life. I had the controls. I was not submitted to what God wanted in my life. I didn't read the Bible to find out what he was saying to me. I determined this is what I want. I want it my way. I want to do it like this. And listen, growing up as a non-Christian, that was bad enough. But then when you become a Christian and God tells you what he wants and what he wants to do and what he's planned for your life, even still you struggle. It's not like it once was, but there's still a battle. There's still a struggle. But when I back up and realize that Christmas is a time to be reminded of the fact that God has a plan for our lives. My friend, no matter what kind of a terrible life you've had, there is the worldly carnal temptation to blame everybody about the rough life we've had. Now, no doubt, people have hurt us in life. And we can all, we can all say, well, it was my mama, it was my daddy, it was my grandma, it was my grandpa, it was my school teacher, it was this or that. Listen, you can do that all your life and wind up living your life and missing your entire life, pointing your fingers at other people. When in reality, the truth is we need to give that up. And this is what God says. God announces to us this very important thing. I have a plan for your life. In fact, in Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12, he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me. Listen, and then you will go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Don't you want God to hear you? Listen, God's got a plan for our lives. He's got a plan for your life. And even if your life has been an abusive life, a neglected life, listen, all that stuff, God is not defeated by that. And here's the temptation. You and I can say, oh God, where were you? And I can't believe in you because I had all this horrible thing going on in my life. Listen, if everyone told their story, we would be here forever because all of us have had a difficult life. You see, your life to you has been very difficult. My life to me has been very difficult. But when I hear how your life has been compared to my life, I will then conclude, well, my life wasn't as bad as your life, or my life was worse than your life. And we begin to judge it, don't we? Among what is being said. We hear somebody say something and we either, you know, listen to what they have to say and walk away saying, man, I'm glad I'm not them. Or boy, we might say, they think they got troubles, they should be me. Listen, God doesn't act like that. God doesn't do that. What God winds up announcing to us is that he's got a plan for our lives. And instead of us going like this toward one another, we need to look up like this and say, God, work it all out. He knows. Christmas ought to be a time when you are liberated and set free. If you just look to God. This is a tough time of the year, and especially in ministry, hospitals and churches, this is our most demanding time of the year. I think you know the reasons why. People start reflecting and wondering, my life, my dad didn't call, my mom didn't call, my kids didn't call. People get suicidal. People don't have enough money. TV's pounding on us about what we should buy for others so we're not looked as a loser, and then what we need to get from everybody so that we are the winner. And it's just all crazy. And we forget the very meaning that it is God who sent Christ for us and that he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. And even the most difficult life that's represented in here this morning, that didn't conquer God's love toward you. God in his wisdom would say to you this morning, all the stuff you've gone through has just been used. I'll use it to get you to look to me. Don't get bitter about it. Look to me, God would say, because he's got a plan. Also under this point, why would I imagine a Christmas without Jesus when it's Jesus Christ who desired your life, desired my life? He wants us. You say, Jack, nobody wants me. How come? Maybe a good reason why they don't want you. Maybe you bug people. I say that with all affection because I have concluded something. All of us bug somebody. Have you noticed that? Isn't it funny? We'll say things like, oh, that guy, that person bugs me. Wait a minute, how dare we say that? First of all, technically, don't we all bug God? We really do. And he puts up with us. He loves us so much, he puts up with us. But the amazing thing is that God desires our lives. He wants to be with us. And that's a sweet thing to me. Man, at Christmas, all the stuff, and what a wonderful church family. I mean, this is the first service of three services today, and you're the first wave of family here. There's a lot of other extended family you have that's coming later. And the beautiful thing to realize is that God is delighted. And for many of you, I hope it's most of you, maybe I pray all of you, that this Christmas will be a time that you truly understand and celebrate the fact that it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about him. And when it's so beautiful to realize that it's about him, you find yourself tucked in the fabric of his heart and of his robe, safe because he's desired your life. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, what a tender portion of scripture Jesus is speaking about the heart of God and about his own heart towards those who trust in him. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." You hear that? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them," Jesus said, "and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Does he sell it to them? Does he sell you eternal life? No. He gives it. "And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Can I read that again? I'm going to read it again, if you like it or not. It's so good. "My sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I know them. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands." Oh, that's nice. Because you know what? First of all, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." I don't want to wig you out too much. There's some stuff you don't know about me. I mean, it's little, but you pretty much know everything except this kind of maybe this one thing that I'll kind of hide a little bit still. Before this church started, I was working at a medical corporation down in Newport Beach, and part of my job was to spend a great deal amount of time in an operating room. The only thing is it wasn't humans we were operating on. It was other types of animals. And before you run out of the building with your hair on fire, we treated them very nice. Don't worry. They were well sedated and well taken care of. We even had names for them. We loved them. And most of them were sheep. Because interestingly enough, sheep, when it comes to cardiovascular research, sheep have the closest physiological performance to a human than any other animal on the planet, even more than a monkey. Somebody might say, "Well, isn't a monkey closer to us?" If Jesus said, "My monkeys hear my voice and they follow me," he would have said that. He didn't say monkeys. He said, "My sheep." And it's so amazing because sheep, you guys, are absolutely strange, strange things. Because you know what? If they want to drink a water and there's a river flowing by, do you know what they do? They walk right into the river and they start drinking until they just start floating down the river. And they go down the river and then you see, boop, their legs go bobbing up and they're gone. They're so dumb. And they're very frightened all the time. They're very scared. They're also very naive. There is a sense of a sheep being gullible in a way. But what's very interesting to me is that their hearts perform so much like ours. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You as a stranger can speak to a sheep, a lamb or a herd, and they won't listen to you. But when the shepherd comes onto the scene, and our particular research lab, we would get our sheep from sheep pastures in Utah for some reason, and we would hear stories. And some of these sheep would be tagged. This is Bud. And we'd hear these stories. And you know what? When the shepherd would speak to the sheep, when he would speak to them, he would make sounds or noises or words, and they would obey him. They would listen to him. But they don't listen to a stranger. They don't listen to anyone else. Jesus said, "Isn't it great? My sheep hear my voice. They follow me." Listen, bottom line is this. We can cut this service short right now. Very simply. Do you want to follow Jesus? When the Bible is read and when you hear his word and you say, "Man, that's true." You may not like what's being said. That's not the point. You'll say, "That's true. I don't like how I feel about that." Or, "Boy, that makes me feel great. It's true." Listen, the only way you can say that is because you're one of his sheep. "My sheep hear my voice." And Jesus says, "I give them eternal life." Merry Christmas. Second point this morning is this. Imagine a Christmas without Jesus Christ. Why should I? Listen, why would I? And why should I? Why should I want to imagine a Christmas without Jesus Christ and go against history, go against the Bible, go against reason, go against logic? Why in the world would that hold any validity in my life, from why would I to why should I? And number one, thinking this way, it's this. That when Jesus Christ comes into our lives, when what he does in our lives, by his love, by his grace, keep this in mind. Number one, why should I imagine a Christmas without Jesus? That is so silly. When God's the one who said to us that we can begin again, every one of us. Now, you young people, you're saying, "I don't need to begin again. I'm doing just great." That's wonderful. But there'll come a time in your life when you're going to wish that you could begin again. That's why I think it's great for young kids to talk to grandpa. and talk to grandma. Boy, mom, dad, you've got power. Grandma and grandpa, you have absolute influence over that little generation growing up. To be able to sit down, grandma or grandpa, and say to little junior or miss, you need to understand, sweetie, Jesus Christ can give us a brand new start. And God's Bible tells us we can start again, all over again. I got mail from someone this week. Beautiful letter. Merry Christmas. This is what I'm praying for you and for your family and for the church. And glorious letter. This person's in prison. This person's in prison for the next 200 years, 210 years. How'd you like to be in prison for being given a 210-year sentence? You say, I couldn't live like that. Well, wait a minute. You may be running around this world thinking you're free, but without Jesus Christ, you're in prison. Amen. You are in prison. You may think you're free. You're not free. Have you noticed that you've got to do whatever your body demands you do? You're actually a slave. You're not free. And I get such an amazing Christmas greeting from a man who you would say is bound with no hope. And this person writes from a cell. And you can sense the freedom. Because life for him is began again. Start anew. Every time Jesus met someone, by the way, and I love it. Every time you see him encountering someone in the Bible who was sorry for what they had done in life or sorry to God for being mean or proud or hurtful or lustful or envious or selfish or sexually deviant or whatever they've done in life, doesn't matter. But when they were sorry for what they had done, Jesus turned to them, for example, like in Luke chapter 7, Jesus said, for your sins, which are many, are forgiven you, and your faith has saved you. Go in peace and sin no more. He allows them to start again. Maybe that's you this morning. It's Christmas and all is well and all is great, but the truth is, you know what? You'd love to hear those words from him, that you can start again, and for him to say to you, you have been forgiven of all the past, and you're free to go now. Why should I imagine a Christmas without him when God's the one who said, follow me? I love it. Follow me, Jesus said in Mark 5:18. And when he got into a boat, he went to him who had been demon-possessed. And that man begged him and said to Jesus that he would like to follow him. And Jesus said, now watch, Jesus didn't say, don't follow me. Jesus said in response to his question that Jesus had healed this man of demon possession, Jesus said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. You say, Jack, I want to follow God. Okay, then go home today and tell people what great compassion God has had on your life. Tell them. Are you going to go shopping today? You might go shopping today. This is one of those crazy days that you shouldn't go shopping today, but you might. So being a great, beautiful people that you are, you're going to walk in and say, Merry Christmas. And if they say, Happy Holidays, then take your checkbook right out the door and go to a place that does. And when you go in there to shop today, you want to remind the people by your conduct, by your Christian love, by your actions. But the fact is, you're following Jesus Christ. And you do that by telling people, hey, Merry Christmas. God loves you. Merry Christmas. Listen, Happy Birthday, Jesus. You know, that's what it's all about.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special Christmas message called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus Christ. Thanks for being here today, and Merry Christmas to you from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. You know, our prayer for you this Christmas is that your 2021 is filled with contentment and joy that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus came so that we can have life, and he died on the cross to free us from all of our guilt and shame. Christ is the reason we celebrate Christmas, and it's given us great joy sharing our Real Radio program with you this past year. Thank you for welcoming us into your home and into your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Also, today's message is available in CD or DVD format on the website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.